My name is Andrew, and I'm 20 years old. Among other interests, one of the things that really excites me and has become a passion of mine is urban exploring. Cities are like a jungle, and there's a lot of interesting places to discover, many of them hidden and abandoned, completely forgotten by time and by most people. Fortunately, I have a best friend, Artie, who shares this hobby with me. And so once every week, usually during the weekends, we go out and try to get ourselves an adventure in the streets and inside the buildings. It was Thursday in the afternoon, and me, Artie, and his sister, Angelica, were having some late lunch at a Chinese restaurant. "Hey, Andrew, I think I found the perfect place for us to explore tomorrow. An abandoned hospital, which was built in the 1950s. It's located in an area where nobody lives anymore. There's a couple factories nearby, but that's about it," Artie suggested. "Now that is a good idea. I'm in," I said, already craving for the adrenaline of walking through the halls of a gloomy, old, empty hospital. "I want to go too," Angelica said unexpectedly. She's actually a few years older than me and Artie. She's cool, and sometimes she hangs out with us, but only occasionally and never during urban exploring. "What? No way. You're not used to it. Sometimes it can be dangerous. We don't need a third wheel with zero experience," Artie said. "Oh, come on. I just broke up with my boyfriend. I need something fun to do. Please?" Angelica insisted. "Okay, fine. Just this time, and only because I know how you're still depressed about breaking up with Miguel," Artie said. "Great, you two are the best, but we'll have to go after I finish my shift at work, which is around 11 p.m., Angelica announced. "We're going to the hospital at nighttime?" "Awesome! Not bad for a first-timer, Angelica," I said. And so it was decided. It was already 2 a.m. when we finally parked our car near the abandoned hospital, because Angelica had to finish some extra work, and then the three of us had a super late dinner together. I guess we lost track of time. The surroundings were really dark. Public electrical lighting was very scarce in the area. We even heard an owl. Nevertheless, it wouldn't be a problem because all of us brought powerful flashlights. We could listen to every single footstep of ours, walking towards the hospital's entrance. The door was, surprisingly, still very solid and locked. But there were other ways to get in. Most windows were broken, and we simply got in through one of those entries. "Be careful through broken glass. Don't cut yourself," I said to Angelica. Artie and myself were used to such safety procedures, but she was a newbie. Okay, thanks, Andrew." "Whoa, this is spooky," Angelica said, as the three of us were now walking in the hospital's main hall. And she was right. The walls and the floor were extremely dirty, and there was some trash and spray paintings on some places. The rooms were particularly creepy. Some of them still had beds and closets. "Whoa, guys, check this out. This closet still has some medicines. Listen to this. February 1972, Angelica said. "Whoa, that's actually kind of cool. A true piece of history. I want to take that with me," Artie said. We were now getting used to the hospital and its darkness, more curious than frightened, actually, as we were climbing the stairs to the second floor already. Eventually, one of us was now exploring his and hers different sections, as we felt confident enough to do so. Next thing we heard was Angelica shout from another room.
Guys, there's someone down here, or something. It's like a shadow. It has red eyes. Holy!
Then we heard her scream. Immediately, Artie and I ran towards Angelica. When we entered the room, we realized that the floor had cracked and Angelica fell through.
Let's go downstairs. We can enter the room from below, through this door, I said.
We did so, and as fast as we could. But when we got there, we were surprised to see that there was no one to see, and Angelica was gone.
She's not here. How's that possible? Angelica! Angelica!
Artie started to shout as we searched for her. We searched and searched, not just inside that room, but everywhere in the hospital. It was already morning when we finally called the police and told them what happened. The authorities themselves weren't able to find Angelica. She simply vanished.
Maybe somebody took her? She was mentioning seeing somebody,
Artie said with grief in his eyes and voice.
But we didn't take more than a minute to enter that room when she fell. Who could move a person so fast?
I replied.
I don't know, man, but what I know is my sister's gone.
Artie was crushed, and he still had to tell his parents about it. The police were now investigating Angelica's disappearance. As days went by, I kept meeting Artie. He needed a friend more than ever. His parents were devastated with what happened, and they were blaming Artie, and me as well. This obviously didn't make us feel better. A part of me felt guilty, but she was the one who wanted to come, and I wasn't going to apologize for wanting to explore abandoned places. We didn't do anything wrong. But, of course, it was easier said than done. In any case, both me and my best friend stopped our urban explorations. A few months later, I got a call from Artie.
Andrew, Angelica's back. She came home yesterday.
What?
That's amazing. How is she?
Well, you should come see for yourself. I'm not so sure myself. But the fact is that she's alive and with no physical damage, so that's good. We took her to the hospital, but apparently she's fine. We contacted the police, but see, that's the thing. She's barely speaking. I could use a friend right now, you know, Artie said.
Yeah, dude, I'm on my way, I answered.
Once I arrived at Artie's house, I saw Angelica, and I understood what my friend was saying. Angelica didn't speak a word while I was there. Her eyes had an anxious and mad expression. Artie said they were going to take her to a psychiatrist next week. Unfortunately, Angelica had something else planned. I couldn't believe it when I read it on the newspaper later that same week. Young woman murders her own brother and father. Mother in complete shock. That woman was Angelica. She had killed my friend Artie and his father. But she left her mother alive. She was obviously arrested, and eventually I visited her in jail, visibly under medication. Angelica was now ready to talk. Angelica, why did you do that? I asked. Because my father and Artie are bad. You are bad. All men are bad. I wish I could kill all of you, she replied. As the investigation proceeded, it was determined that Angelica had suffered surreal, unspeakable things. She was indeed taken by a man that infamous night at the abandoned hospital. But until this day, Angelica refuses to speak in detail about the mysterious attacker and what he actually did to her. Unfortunately, her silence and trauma revealed that it was something too terrible for her to even think about. Regardless of her senseless crimes, I hope she achieves some possible peace. And in time, may the police lead to her aggressor and maybe find some closure. Maybe make the world a safer place. And as for me, urban exploring is over. Forever.
My name is Scott, and I'm 39 years old. A few months ago, I was invited to spend a weekend with some friends. They rented a cottage around some woods. The idea was to hunt and enjoy some healthy time outside. Unfortunately, as I was halfway there, I realized that my car was almost out of gas. I did find a very small gas station. This was in an area that had practically no signs of civilization.
the classic middle of nowhere. It was spring at around 5 p.m., so at least I had a few more hours of daylight. I stopped my car, but there wasn't any gas. Great. Just great, I said to myself, cursing my bad luck. There was a small building there, obviously an office. Thankfully, someone was inside. A man with long hair and a beard, dressed in working clothes, but very dirty. When he saw me, he came out.
Hey, buddy, you need some gas, yeah?
He asked. Some of his teeth were missing, but he looked friendly.
Definitely, but it seems like you're out of gas, I replied. Oh, really? Damn. Not many people pass by these roads anymore. I run this gas station as a hobby, almost. I'm afraid I'm only receiving new fuel next week, he answered.
You've got to be kidding me. I need to meet some friends. My destination's still like an hour away. Do you have a phone that I can use?
My cell phone isn't receiving any signal around here. It's dead. I need to inform my friends to come pick me up, I asked.
Sorry, mate. I don't have a phone. However, there is a small town not too far away from here, just about a 30-minute walk. I can give you directions. Mostly old folks live there, and I think some of them have phones,
the man said. At least one of us was having a good time.
Okay, I guess that's my only option, I said.
The gas station man told me what trail I should follow. His directions were accurate. I was walking so fast because I was anxious. I got there in about 20 minutes. And boy, oh boy, this town really was small and even more depressing. The only car I saw was an old truck. I saw people looking at me from inside their houses. I knocked on the door of one of the houses.
Hello? Hey, excuse me, can I use your phone? It's an emergency. I'll pay for the phone call, I said.
An old woman was looking at me through the window of her house. She was staring at me, her eyes cold and without expression. It was as if she was a statue. It was extremely creepy. I gave up on that particular house and tried another one. But I couldn't believe what I saw, or who I saw. It was the exact same woman. It couldn't be the same, of course, but even the clothes were really similar. Again, I got the same reaction, just a blank stare, complete indifference from the other side of the window.
Ugh, so much for having my pleasant weekend, I said to myself. But my luck was about to change. I saw an old man walking towards me. He was smiling, and at least he looked normal.
Good afternoon, stranger. What brings you to our small town which has no name? Are you passing by? He said.
Ah, thank goodness. I tried to talk with some of your neighbors, but they weren't as friendly as you. By the way, are those two women from those two houses, are they twin sisters? I asked.
Yes, they are. Please forgive them. Their mental health is not the best, so to speak. My name is Oscar.
The old man introduced himself as we shook hands. Ah, okay, I see. I'm Scott. Nice to meet you. Well, I'm out of gas, and apparently so is the nearby station. I just need to use a phone. Any phone, so I can call my friends and have them pick me up.
Absolutely, my young friend. Here, come over to my place. You can use our phone. I live with my wife and Amelia. She'll be happy. We seldom receive visitors around here, Oscar said as I followed him.
Since the town was so small, it was less than 5 minutes till we were there. Oscar's wife, Amelia, was really nice, but her mental health didn't seem the best either. I assumed living in such an isolated place wasn't exactly a good way to keep your brain cells active. I tried to use your phone, but it was mute.
There's no signal, I said, feeling desperate already.
Oh my, such bad luck. Sorry, sometimes that happens, Oscar explained.
Okay,
how much longer before the phone starts to work again? I asked.
It depends. It could be a few minutes or a lot longer, but never more than a few hours.
I can't believe this. Sorry. Can I use some other phone? Maybe from, like, your neighbors? I asked, already guessing the answer.
This is the only phone around here. I'm very sorry. You can wait upstairs. We have a nice guest room where you can rest and relax. Amelia will bring you some food and water, Oscar offered.
Okay. Thank you, I replied. Oscar went upstairs where he showed me the room. At least I could lie down and rest, which, in fact, I did. I was so tired that I fell asleep. I woke up with someone singing. It was nighttime already.
What the hell is this?
I said before I screamed when I saw who was there. My room was filled with old ladies singing some kind of mantra. All of them were the exact duplicates of each other. They looked precisely like those other twin ladies that I saw earlier in the day. Suddenly, Oscar entered my room. I was still in shock and didn't have time to process. Oscar was carrying a big butcher knife. He was smiling and he said,
Scott, you are in luck. You will be sacrificed to our beloved god Satara. Your soul will be saved. Only the chosen ones reach our town.
Realizing I was dealing with some kind of sacrificial cult, I didn't think twice and jumped through the bedroom window, breaking it. Fortunately, it wasn't a big fall, and the grass prevented me from significantly damaging myself. I got up and ran like a maniac, only to see other women coming from their houses walking towards me, singing. They all looked the same, like the others. Fortunately, they weren't running. And finally, this time, my luck was really changing for good and for real. As I was walking back to the gas station, I saw another car parked there. It was one of my friends.
Scott, there you are. Man, we were worried about you. You didn't arrive when you were supposed to, and your cell phone was off. And actually, it might be in this area. Mine isn't capturing signal either.
Dude, I'll tell you everything, but please, we gotta get the hell out of here, now, I said as I got into my friend's car, even before he did. My friends found my story unbelievable. The next day, I reported everything to the police. And to my utter disbelief, the authorities said the small town that I reported was completely abandoned. It had been empty for the last 10 years. I have no idea who those people were and how those old ladies were each other's clones. But that talk about the god Satara sometimes still haunts my dreams.